This is your station, 88.9 KETR. It's Pledge Drive here on KETR. That means it's time for you to consider pulling out your pocketbook and making a contribution to great public radio here in Northeast Texas. A couple ways to do it. You can call 800-882-KETR. That's 800-882-5387. Or go online to KETR.org and click support the station. And, well, you should. It's a Thursday morning. We'd like to welcome to the studio, as we often do on a Thursday morning, Mr. Bob Aiken. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'd be even better if I had my little tin cup to rattle.
That's right.
But it is time to beg for money again, and that is what we're doing. And for everybody who remained safe and sound yesterday after listening to the extended coverage of tornadoes and tornado warnings,
that's right.
This is one of the better news operations and weather operations that you're going to find, particularly in a market of this size. And to the extent that we're all safe and sound and got through this with no injuries at all, that is in great part due to what your station was able to provide. And it's a real good time, as some of us have already done, have been to re-up again. Don't just pledge, send your money.
That's right. We'll be happy to take those checks again. Go to KETR.org and click support this station. We'll give that phone number again in just a little bit. But first, we need to talk budgets.
Well, let's talk budgets, because let's take this radio station and its surrounding institution.
Yes.
Every public entity, state, federal, local, has got more than one revenue stream that feeds it. And one of the revenue streams for a public radio station, including this one, are listener contributions. Another is the support activities from its sponsoring entity, in this case, a state university. And also, you get some money direct and indirect from the federal government.
Right. A significant portion.
Right. So when we're talking budgets, we say, yeah, that's a little more complicated. And then you have to allocate how you spend the money. Let's talk what has happened this week and in terms of the presidential campaign. And then we're going to talk the specifics and break down state and federal budgets in as painless terms as possible. We'll try to avoid numbers unless we absolutely have to use them.
Okay.
Because I have found that while some of us love recreational mathematics, there are other folks who just, it'll put you to sleep.
They don't like using the calculator.
If you're in your car, it'll put you to sleep. You drive off the road and hit a tree.
You don't want that.
It's bad.
We avoid that.
You know, let's just look. For the first time I've ever seen this happen.
Okay.
And I'm sure it has happened before. I just don't remember it. That the President of the United States went before the American Society of Newspaper Editors, which by tradition, no matter what their editorial policy is in their paper, the organization is strictly, not painfully, or as Mitt Romney would put it, severely nonpartisan.
Right.
You know, they politely applaud when the president appears, and they do not interrupt with applause or any other sign of support or opposition while he lays out a fairly serious address. In this case, he clearly claimed what they think is going to be the high ground on budget, including taxes and spending, for this year and for the foreseeable future. You rarely see a presidential campaign framed this starkly, but it's something that when they are, as now everyone who gets the talking points, is we now don't refer to the Ryan budget, which the House Republican budget chair who has laid out and passed, it is now the Romney-Ryan budget. Whether Ryan winds up as his vice presidential running mate or not, it is now the Romney-Ryan budget, because they have polled this extensively, done focus groups, researched it, and this is where they want to go.
Right.
What we're looking at is a lot of talk. We've talked about how a budget resolution is just that. It's a target. It does not carry the force of law.
Right.
What actually carries the force of law are bills that he ultimately are signed by the president, spending specified amounts of money for different purposes by different federal agencies.
Right.
Over the last, going back to World War II, since the end of the war, about roughly 20 to 21% on average of the entire gross national product of the country is spent by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Another 4, 5, sometimes 6% is spent by state governments. Another 4 or 5% by local governments, including school districts.
Right.
What that works out to, just very simply, is about 30% of the entire budget, of the entire national economy, is spent by one level of government or another, mostly federal. Well, what does that go for? You can break it down into about five components that are of roughly equal size, the largest being health, both Medicaid and Medicare. Then there's Social Security. Then there's about 20% of the budget goes to defense. Mm-hmm. Well, then there's another, currently about 15 or 16% goes to what's called income security, that being unemployment comp and other things that are income driven, like food stamps,
right,
where eligibility goes up as people get laid off from jobs. The remaining maybe 15% is everything else, the national parks, the FBI, everything. Well, when you look at it, there's just about 24% of the GDP that is spent by the federal government. And about 15 or 16% of GDP comes in taxes, meaning the balance is borrowed. That's why there's such a large federal deficit, is because tax collections are down. At the same time, spending went up. Spending is coming down as people are going back to work.
Right.
Tax collections should pick up. The question is going to be at what point and at how much. Historically, deficits, meaning excess of spending over revenue, have run about 3% of the gross national product, whether it was in 1960 or 1980 or now.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the size of the deficit is almost twice that. It's about 5.5%. As that comes down, that's the great debate, is not whether to balance the budget to the penny, but how large a deficit is it? The best rule of thumb is how much capital spending, new buildings and equipment, are being bought with that amount. And we'll pick up on that at some other time, but while we're at it, the best capital outlay you can make right now is to pledge your support for KETR during this pledge. We'd appreciate it, but next time you want a Friday night football score or want to know where the tornado is, we'll be here.
That's right. Pick this station. That's how you do it. Mr. Aiken, thank you so much for joining us.
We'll do it again.
All right. This is your station, 88.9 KETR.